Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, don't you mean Sarah Ferguson from Horse and Hound Magazine? I'm here for the exclusive interview. Jessica, what do you feel about the horses in this podcast?
I appreciate that there weren't too many, because Winston would have barked at them. There were just enough horses. We did see about 6 hounds.
Yeah, how many hounds?
Could have used more hounds.
Between the three of us, we have 3 hounds plus 1 coming very soon. But by the time that the listeners are hearing this podcast, there will be 4 hounds.
There will be a hound. That listeners is a guest, a returning guest, an amazing guest. We've had her on once before. We knew we were going to be doing Julia Roberts month, and we were like, oh, let's do Notting Hill. And then Sarah was like, why don't you reach out to Deidre? And I did. And Deidre was immediately like, yes, all caps, I'm there. I love this movie. So welcome, Deidre, to the podcast.
Thank you. Yes, I do love this movie. And I did also live in London, and this movie is very nostalgic for me for multiple reasons.
You know what I was thinking when I was watching the movie? If nothing else, like, even if somebody didn't like this movie at all, right, and like didn't really enjoy it, at least it's a very good location-based movie.
Yeah.
It's not a New York movie. It's not like a California movie. It is a very London movie.
It's a very London movie. Just like how You've Got Mail is a very Upper West Side movie. This is a very specific neighborhood in London too. But
yes,
yeah, I'm excited to dig into that.
I've never been to England. So have you been to Notting Hill area of London?
I have. So I lived in what was technically considered North London, but is kind of geographically northeast. And Notting Hill is in West London. West London is more of the posh part of London.
Oh,
and East London posh is more of the cool part of London.
So where is Hugh Grant from? Is he from the posh part? Because I feel like when he talks, he sounds like he's from the posh part. He's from White City, London.
I don't know what neighborhood he
White City, London.
White City. I have no idea.
That's in the East. Yeah.
Oh, it sounds a little posh if you ask me.
It is a white city, so. But Notting Hill, the neighborhood, is, as this movie says, is very famous for the Portobello Road Market, which it's a massive market. Like, it's one of the biggest markets, like, land-wise that I've ever been to. It's just so sprawling, and just antiques everywhere, out on the street, inside. Like, some of these storefronts are only open on market days, where there's literally one day a week that you can go in and shop in these antique stores. Yeah.
It's rare. Wild.
So yeah, there's enough foot traffic on this one day a week, every week, that they can make rent in one of the most expensive neighborhoods in London.
That's wild to think about, because I recently visited Seattle and we did like Pike Place Market, which to me felt sprawling, massive, like multiple stories, lots of stores, but they were open. I mean, they're open all the time. I can't imagine only being open. Like, imagine how crowded it must be on that single day that they are open.
Yeah. London has like a really historic like market culture. Every neighborhood has a market every week. And then there are a lot of markets that have been there for like hundreds of years. Like Borough Market is a famous one that a lot of people go to that has all food. Portobello Road Market, as we said, has a lot of antiques. There's also the Columbia Road Flower Market that's just all flowers. There are like some really cool specialty markets. And then there's just lots of, you know, great food stalls and farm fresh produce and stuff like that at a lot of neighborhood markets too.
See, now I want to visit this place, but I feel like due to the, you know, box office hit Notting Hill, it would be like packed with, I mean, it's a 1999, we didn't even introduce the movie, Notting Hill, 1999 rom-com.
This is the movie that we watched,
Notting Hill. Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant. I feel like after the success of the film, like it would still be busy, not as busy as it was probably in like 2000 and 2001 and all those years, but I feel like it still would probably be a pretty crowded place nowadays.
Yeah, so Notting Hill is definitely a neighborhood where during non-market days, it's like a completely different neighborhood. And that's most of the times that I've been there. Notting Hill is also famous for Notting Hill Carnival, which is like similar to like Rio de Janeiro Carnival. Like it's, but it's mostly the like Afro-Caribbean people there that are celebrating rather than like the Brazilian people. So, but it's very popular carnival. It's like shuts down all the streets. You like have to get off at a an underground stop, like three stops away, and walk. That's once a year. So
Holy crap, that's really intense.
But yeah, I used to do pub trivia in a pub in Notting Hill every Sunday night with some of my friends. So have fun memories of this neighborhood.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Like we see a couple different, I love the scenes that we're just seeing, like Hugh Grant just like walking around. Yeah. Like it's beautiful scenery, beautiful imagery in the movie. But yeah, Sarah, we hadn't seen this movie before today. No. Or did you? We watched it actually like the same time this morning somehow.
Yeah, that was incredible. I don't know how, but we like literally turned on the movie around the same time because Jessica sent Deidre and I a screenshot of like, or like a picture of what she was watching. And I was like, literally shut up. And then I sent her back, and it was the same scene.
Exactly. So crazy.
I don't know how that happens.
Especially considering how long this movie is. It's very rare that we would be on the same spot.
It's a 2 hour and change movie, right?
Here's the thing. Yeah, it's like 2 hours, 4 minutes. And it does feel like a long movie.
I love this movie. I've seen it a dozen times. But every single time I watch it, I'm like, how is there still an hour left in this movie?
I think the problem with the length of the film is like with a rom-com, it doesn't need to be 2 hours. Like if you're a rom-com, cap it out an hour 45. Even that's kind of pushing it. I feel like solid hour and a half is the perfect time for a rom-com. I feel like I've like beaten a dead horse. I've said this so many times on so many podcasts. But it's unnecessary to have 2 hours, especially when like you get to like the part where there's like an hour left and you're like, wait a minute. They're together, though. Like we did.
Like, what else do you have to say? And actually, I have figured out how to fix the movie and cut out 10 minutes.
Beautiful. What are we cutting?
So when we get to the point where Hugh Grant goes to the press conference and she goes and they go like, oh, how long are you going to stay in England or London? Mm-hmm. And she says indefinitely. Cut to black.
Yeah, happy cut the we don't see the end.
Yeah.
We don't like the scene with them in the park.
I don't need it. I don't need it.
I mean, it's great, but it is incredible.
I think we cut the wedding out. I think we cut the wedding and we don't care that she, I mean, we care that she's pregnant, I suppose, but like, I want to know about his friend. Did she ever get pregnant? Like, I don't give a shit about if Julie Roberts is pregnant. What?
We don't know that anyway.
But that's what I'm saying. Why am I caring if she's pregnant? Because the only thing I'm thinking about, and I don't know what this kind of person this makes me, the only thing I'm thinking about is like, oh my God, I hope that like his friend is okay because like she wanted to be pregnant and like it must be hard if this girl's pregnant and she's not. You know what I mean? It's the only thing happening in my mind.
I don't care. I mean, this is, it's about like the love story between Will and Anna.
That's the most white names ever, Anna.
Yeah.
It's Anna and
Anna
William.
Anna Scott is like the most white bread name I've ever heard.
Anna Scott and William Thacker. If not for Thacker, he's very generic.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
which we don't even know his name half the movie.
As much as like the Friends is great, the Friends were definitely like great supporting roles. It's a great ensemble cast, but I don't care. All it's the love, it's about the love story. Maybe we need less friend. Maybe I don't know, need to know about his friend's issues.
I think you know what it is. So cut out some of the friends. We don't need all the friends. We don't need the friend with their failing restaurant. I don't think we need
him. Alternate suggestion for how we fix this movie.
Okay, amazing.
We turn it into a mini series.
Yes.
This movie was over 2 hours long. So many get together, breakup, etc. The final cut of this movie apparently was 3.5 hours long, according to IMDb. They cut 90 minutes, which is an entire other movie, just to get this down to a release cut.
So this
should be
you're
a miniseries.
Telling me they recorded all of another hour and a half of footage?
Probably
what
more.
What a waste of everyone's time.
Yes.
Like, if I'm Julia Roberts or Hugh Grant, I'm like, the fuck did I just waste all my time doing if you're going to chop the movie in half? Like, it just, there were so many things we could cut out in this. Like, I just think, cut out the friend who's has a failing restaurant. Like, I don't care about him. Leave in the kooky sister because she's bonkers.
Oh, she's
we
nuts.
We need to get into the roommate situation because, oh my goodness.
Spike is and also then, nuts.
I kind of like, I think you're right, Deidre. If we do this into a miniseries, you know what we could do? You know what we could do? We could get an entire episode. I don't know if anybody has seen, what is it called? The Raven Quest, the Mystic
Quest.
Mythic Quest, Raven's Banquet, that one.
I have not seen it.
So there's an episode of that show that is like removes you from where you are like in time with the normal characters. And it has an entire character based episode on like two characters we've never met before. And I feel like this show, this as a miniseries could pull that off with the friends that are trying to conceive. Right. The husband and wife with the woman who's in the wheelchair. And I think that we could get an entire if it's a miniseries, an entire episode just focused on them, and that would absolve, because it's like a little character heavy, I think. Like, there's so many people,
there's
but we don't
lot.
Really
there's
know
a
ton.
Lot of people, there's a lot going on, there's a lot of plot, but I think somebody else in this universe had the same idea that I did, because there was a show that came out on HBO Max this past year called Starstruck that stars Rose Matafeo, who you might be familiar with from Taskmaster Season 9.
I love Rose. Yeah. She's amazing.
She's so good, and she's so good in this. I think she might have been a writer on this show as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, but Starstruck is basically, it is a miniseries, and it's basically reverse Notting Hill. So
the man is famous?
Mm-hmm, the man is famous.
Got it.
Which I guess is the more standard gender norm power structure. I do like that in Notting Hill, they do buck a lot of gender norms. But Starstruck is so well done. And if you haven't seen it, I recommend you go and watch it right now.
So many things on my list for HBO to watch currently. Like, I need to catch up on Insecure. And then I'll also put that episode, that show on my list. But let's get into the cast a little bit. We're going to definitely bounce around because this movie is just a whole lot. But obviously the reason we're here, Julia Roberts, it's Julia Roberts month. She plays, we said, the main character, and one of the main characters, Anna. Interesting character. Like, I kind of vibed with her. I really love when she told off those jerks in the restaurant. Like, that was one of those Yas Queen moments.
Apparently, I feel that like moment was not scripted. That was the one scene that made it into this final 2 hours plus that was not in the script.
They're like, here, go ahead. You can improv this. I liked Julia Roberts in this film. I think that she's a little bit, I didn't get as much personality from her as I feel like we usually do. Sarah, tell me if you disagree that I feel like usually, I guess I view her as more of like that, like Tinkerbell, like in Hook, kind of like feisty. And I feel like Anna Scott isn't necessarily feisty in this film.
No, she's a little vanilla, but it's
most of her lines are just the word no or yes. So I kind of get where you're going with this.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that she does a good job, like, kind of being mysterious and intriguing. And she kind of has, like, she's not like what a typical, like, she's supposed to be the most famous actress in the world right now. And right. She doesn't have that typical, like, demanding, like, prima donna attitude that you would expect an extremely famous person to have. And you got to think, like, she's playing an actress who's one of the most famous actresses in the world while being one of the most famous actresses in the world. Like,
yeah.
This is, like, the height of Julia Roberts. A month after this film came out, Runaway Bride came out. And she kind of just, like, ruled the 90s. So, like, who better would understand the struggles of being the most famous woman in the world better than Julia Roberts in 1999? So I feel like in that regard, it's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic. And Anna herself is interesting because she kind of just wants to live a normal life. But she gets, like, obviously, being a celebrity is very taxing on her. She mm-hmm. is exhausted by the paparazzi.
The real villain of this movie is really celebrity culture and paparazzi.
Absolutely. And especially, like, I've heard a billion times before that England's paparazzi are particularly venomous. So,
especially in the 90s.
Yeah, they have zero chill at all. They are literally demons that write stories on everybody except for the queen, because the queen and the paparazzi are best friends. They go hand in hand. And actually, if you don't know this, the queen invites the paparazzi and, like, the media to the castle for a ball. And this is, like, a yearly thing. And it's, like, an arrangement between the two of them because they need each other. Isn't that crazy? But what they don't care about, the paparazzi, is young women in their 20s that are in the public eye. They don't care about that at all, actually. So, yeah, particularly venomous. And we also see her struggle with with things getting out, like whether it be stories mm-hmm. about her or pictures. And once again, this goes back to the media and 90s mm-hmm. media. So we get her stressed.
She's like very distressed about the fact that she cannot live a private life.
Yeah.
Her private life can never stay private.
And it's interesting because it's like, yeah, she makes all this money. I mean, this is very, she makes all this money and you'd think she'd be happy, but, like, no, because her fame comes with body image issues and body image expectations mm-hmm. and not being able to be private at all. And also just, like, being constantly scrutinized for literally everything. Mm-hmm. She says that, like, I'm waiting. I really liked the scene where they all are like, this is at William's sister's birthday party mm-hmm. and very early on in the movie. And they're all, like, trying to get the last brownie or something. And they have to tell the saddest story, spilling
their baggage, I would like to say.
Yeah, to get a brownie.
It seemed as though
the biggest sad sack.
Yeah, and Julia Roberts, or Anna Scott, is, because she basically can't live a normal life. She is always scrutinized. She's not been able to eat a single piece of food that she's like wanted to eat in like what, 10 years. She's had to have work done. Who knows if, I mean, if you want to get work done, like, by all means, whatever you want to do to make yourself feel like your best self, I am all for. But like the way she verbalizes it makes it seem like I needed to get a nose job or I needed to get my chin fixed in order to succeed in the business. And I really like that aspect of the film. Like, I like the fact that we are diving deeper into this. Like, she's not just some narcissistic, you know, all about me celebrity. There's layers there. And you kind of wonder. That's why I think, Deidre, your miniseries idea would be great. Because, like, kind of wonder, like, what happened early on in her career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how all of that led to her being this person here.
Yeah. By the time we meet her, I think that she's completely over being an actress. I feel like she's taking jobs that are probably cash cows or like Hollywood.
Like the spaceman.
Yeah.
Or like Hollywood.
All of the movies that she's in, especially like in the montage that starts off the movie with all of her film clips and the one that, like, all the ones that they kind of like watch periodically through the movie, they all look like absolutely horrible movies.
Yeah.
Until the one that she's shooting at the end.
Yeah. I'm thinking like it's like Independence Day or like huge moneymaker Hollywood movies that are blockbusters but are not fulfilling. Like, these are not going to win her Oscars, but they're like huge movies that will make a ton of money, and they use her celebrity name to get people into theaters. So that's kind of how I envision it. But yeah, like, she's seems as though she's completely checked out from her acting career, and it's just like she's going through the motions at this rate. So meeting somebody like William at a bookstore who barely recognizes her, like, I think he does recognize her, but not so much as like the guy that was trying to,
like, a real person.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not like the guy that was treating
Rufus.
The audacity of Rufus, the man who tries to steal a book by putting it down his trousers, getting caught, and then offering her his number.
Yeah.
Do you want my number? The audacity of that period. And then having already been caught for having a book down his trousers.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like, he asked her for like an autograph as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that's kind of what she runs into all the time. But yeah, William, played by Hugh Grant, treats her like a human and treats her like the normal person that she aspires to be, to have a normal life.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, shifting into talking about William a little bit, I think, like, I don't have any problems with Hugh Grant. I generally tend to like him in movies he's in, like, in Love Actually. I kind of love his nonsense character, or at least the dancing. The dancing is what kills me. But to me, like, William is a little too milquetoasty. Like, he's a little bit on the boring side. We don't know. I mean, let's be honest, like, the most interesting thing about William is his nonsense weirdo roommate, Spike. That is by far the most interesting thing about him, and his sister. Like, he's just like the boring one of the family.
Yeah, like, what's it say about you when you're the most interesting thing about you is your friends? Doesn't say much.
He's a little on the boring side.
I mean, come on, he owns a travel bookstore that doesn't sell regular books.
Yeah, very niche.
Travel books.
No wonder he's not doing well. Like, he has like prime real estate, and this is the business you choose to be in.
Well, this
and
was not based only that, off of a real travel bookstore.
Oh, yikers.
I just think that used to not be the internet in the 90s, just saying. You used to have to actually buy travel books.
I guess that's fair, but I feel like that is so niche even for the 90s. Like, just have a bookstore. Like, it doesn't need to be just travel books. Like, that's so specific.
Did you guys get flashbacks of PTSD when, like, the one of the first scenes in this movie is, like, the bookshop owner and the bookshop attendant
it's not doing well.
Doing, like, financial, like, number crunching?
Yes.
I swear to God, I had PTSD.
Yeah. I was like, so help me God if this is You've Got Mail again. Or not You've Got Mail.
No, yeah, You've Got Mail.
You've Got Mail. Yeah. If it's that again, I quit.
It's much better than You've Got Mail. And it actually holds up, I think.
Yeah, I want to know, like, what's a more successful store, the Shop Around the Corner or Williams Travel Bookstore?
I mean, children's books is also a niche that mm-hmm. I would expect to be very popular.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But also, so, again, very expensive real estate.
Yes. Yeah, for someone who's not doing well, who not only is not doing well, not selling anything, but has an employee he has to pay.
That one employee is one versus... of the weirdest people in this movie as well. Yeah. In a movie full of weird people, the employee, Martin, is that his name? He's nuts.
The only normal people are the two main characters, and it's kind of like, okay, but can we set them aside because I need to explore Spike? Like, can we just, let's, like, it's a 2-hour movie. I should know a lot more about Spike and his weird dressing habits than I do.
If this movie were made today, it would not be like this. Like, the two main characters would not be this, like, cookie cutter, and there would be more time spent on the weirdos. But
they wouldn't even be there.
Did you guys notice the I Love Blood shirt? That is very appropriate for the day in which we are actually recording this podcast.
Yeah, it is Halloween. We're recording a little bit early because Deidre is expecting a puppy very shortly. And we all know life with a puppy is chaos.
Chaos and loud yips.
Yes. So we are recording this early. But yeah, the t-shirts. And I knew, like, this is how I know I'm a rom-com person. When he put on that shirt that was like, you're the most beautiful woman in the world. Which, by the way, is very creepy for a first date.
Also
to
still
wear that.
A weird t-shirt.
It's very weird. And wasn't it a blind date?
Or maybe not. I don't even remember.
But regardless, it's a weird shirt to wear unless you, like, are dating that person.
No, not even unless you are dating that person.
I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but you're right.
There are very few people in this world who, even if, like, they were married to their spouse, would enjoy their spouse wearing a shirt that said, like, you are the most beautiful person in the world.
Yeah, Sarah, how do you feel about this? You like a good compliment. How would you feel if Drew had this shirt and wore it?
No, it's weird. I want to know who's this... Who's the shirt for? Who made the shirt? Who bought the shirt? No, it's not it.
Yeah.
This is like the prototype of like one weirdo in a basement with a cricket machine.
Yes. What before did the back say? Want to fuck?
Yeah. It was like that.
Want to fuck? That's it. And I was like, has this ever worked for you? Like, that's
definitely
my question
not.
When I see shirts like that. It's like, has that worked? I mean, I guess it worked on his sister, which... I can't even begin to start on her. But yeah, like his shirts, his outfits in general. My question is like, okay, I think that we don't necessarily need the backstory, but I assume William is doing so poorly with his business and the high rent of where he lives that once his like partner cheated on him, moved out, lived with his best friend or whatever, he's like, I can't afford this rent. I have to get a roommate. Did he just like go on Craigslist? Did Craigslist exist in 1999? Where did he find Spike?
The newspaper, Jessica. Local newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
He took an ad out at the local news. Yeah, the Penny Saver. And that's how he found the roommate.
But yeah, he's not just a roommate. He's a lodger. So he pays rent. Normally, when people have lodgers, they don't just like share their space like a roommate.
I'm confused. What is the difference between a lodger and a roommate? Is this like a London thing or is this like an everywhere thing?
There's definitely some nuance there that I'm maybe not the right person for, but it's definitely like when you are the landlord and you also like are living there, I think it can be considered a lodger. But
Right. This isn't an apartment or a flat. This is a house.
Yeah. So he owns the house and used to own it with his ex-wife, but then she moved out. And he needed the money, the rental income, so he got a lodger. I mean, it's a lot of house for just one person, so.
Fair enough, but it seems like fucking, why do I want to call him Stink? What is his name? Spike.
Spike? Stink? Stink.
Spike was maybe worse than no roommate.
He takes up so much of the space with his own shit. It is like honestly concerning and gave me anxiety to look at that house and how like packed it was with crap.
Yes.
And definitely Spike's.
Yeah.
He caused this issue.
And William just seems so buttoned up that, like, you would have thought that, like, this mess would have, like, really irked him. I'm very surprised this arrangement lasted longer than, like, a week, because I feel as though William is, like, an adult man that is very mature. And, like, I guess he's desperate for the money, because
Spike must have been the only option.
Yeah, because you would have been like, oh, this is not working out.
Yeah, he's terrible. He's played by, good God, this guy's name, Reese Ifans. Yeah, very eclectic, eccentric kind of guy. He ends up with, at the end, William's sister,
Honey.
She is a whole other character, because I got confused when the movie first started, and I thought that the woman in the wheelchair, I thought that was his sister, but no, it's Honey, who's completely bonkers, like, lost her mind. Like, what does she even say to Anna when she first meets her? It's like,
she walks in on her, I knew that we would be best friends. Oh, yeah. Like, she comes on a little strong to Anna, if you ask me. Whatever the opposite of William did, which is treat Anna like a normal person, Honey did the opposite.
Yeah, Honey was a little excited. She's like me when I meet a celebrity. I get, like, all, like, weird, and I say stupid shit, and I'm just, like, I get, like, so out of sorts when I meet somebody famous. That's why it's better for me to just, like, stand back and not say anything to a celebrity at all. But she is, like, yeah, very excited to meet her. She walks in on her in the restroom. It's, like, But it's endearing in a way. And I think that Anna takes it with stride, and she feels very welcome in her home. So I think, like, that first meeting was very successful, like, meeting all these friends, especially considering this was, like, kind of like their first date, I suppose. So it was a lot, but it was successful.
I thought it was so cute the way that when she's in the bathroom, they're all, like, freaking out, whispering. Yeah. And then immediately when William and Anna leave, they all scream. Yeah, they all scream. And then they can hear them screaming from the street.
Yeah. I feel like at that point, Anna's like, well, at least they waited for me to leave to do it, right? Yeah. Like, she's so used to this at this point.
Yeah.
I really like the friend aspect of the film. I really like it when you feel like, I wish we got to know them a little bit more. Again, I don't want to add more things to this movie, though.
No, take away less friends.
Yeah. I just think we love them, but we think
probably they should be cut anyway.
I just don't know why we need the guy with the restaurant. We already had so many other friends. Like,
the guy with the restaurant really only comes through at the end.
Well, it's him.
There had to have been another scene that was cut somewhere in the 90 minutes that they cut.
There had to be, because there's him and there's the guy who, like, ends up losing his job that, like, doesn't know who Anna is when he first meets her.
Oh, yeah.
I think he could be cut, too, because I'm like, we don't need enough. There's too many generic white guys. Like, let's get rid of a few more, you know?
Yeah. There's nobody of color in this movie at all.
No, of course not.
London is a very diverse city, and this movie is very white.
Shows none of it. Yeah. But I'm trying to think. So let's see. So we've talked a little bit about, like, the filming location, and just one thing we haven't talked about yet is the scenes that actually take place in that location, especially the scene where they have in between. So they've broken up, or they're not dating, whatever you want to call it. And William is just kind of walking through town. And this is the way they show a time passing is they have the different seasons change kind of around him as he's walking down the street. I really loved that element.
That's the best, like, cinematic scene in this movie, where it's like one long tracking shot where he's just walking down Portobello Road through different weather, through the season. In the beginning, there's a woman who's pregnant, one of the shop sellers. And then at the end, it, like, focuses in on her and her baby. Really cute.
I thought that was very well done as well. I liked it in a cinematic sense, too.
Has the best scene with the best soundtrack of this movie by far, and it's not even close. It's the only soundtrack that I enjoy.
See, and this is where I disagree. Sarah, what did you think of the soundtrack?
I thought it was pretty okay. I mean, we've got some Shania Twain, some Elvis Costello.
Yeah, Ain't No Sunshine was the song in that particular scene, which obviously I agree with you, Deidre, the best song of the movie, like the best moment for music in the movie. But I really love, I don't know why, I think when I was like a teenager, I heard this song. I didn't hear it by... it's Ronan Keating is the one who sings it in this movie. But When You Say Nothing at All, I used to love that song. And maybe that's why I'm a little bit more warm to the soundtrack, is because I really like that. And I think it plays a few times in the movie. Love the song Blue Moon.
The song Blue Moon is in it. They sing it along. I think really my main gripe with this is just that She song by Elvis Costello that plays literally three times in this movie.
It's too many times.
Yeah, I agree. The song is too like slow and whiny. If you're a big Elvis Costello stan, do not at me. The song is just it's one time max. It's not a three time song. It's like they ran out of money for the soundtrack and we're just like,
oh, they probably
play that
did
song again. Play that song one more time.
Yeah. I mean, they probably paid a lot of money and they were like, we're going to get our money's worth out of this.
Yeah. We're going to use this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always think of Elvis Costello in Austin Powers. That's like kind of like, I don't know. There was a cameo. Whatever. I thought that was, the music was fine. Just, I don't know. It's not like I dislike this movie. I think nothing this movie.
Wow.
This movie in general, you're saying the soundtrack?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You were whelmed.
By this movie. That is kind of how I feel as well, Sarah. Like, I feel like I like bits of it. Were certain parts that I was like, I like these bits.
Some of it's funny.
But here's my problem with it, though. When something is billed to me as a rom-com, I am expecting like a 50-50 rom-com, right? This is way more 80-20.
Yeah.
There's way more rom than com. It is like 80-20. And so every time I'm like, well, where's the comedy though? Like, I'm like waiting for the funny moments. And there weren't as many as I would have liked. And if I'm sitting down for 2 hours for a rom-com, then I want more com. Yeah. And I just don't feel like it had enough comedy for me to enjoy it that much. And it was very... You can feel it's like slowness. So like, I don't mind a 2-hour movie if it feels like, wow, I can't believe it's already over. But like, you could feel the slow bits in this film and kind of the quiet bits. And like, that's for some people, not always for me. I agree. I'm kind of whelmed by the movie.
My favorite part that was funny was the press junket where he worked for Horse and Hound magazine.
Yes.
And then he like got into that interview with Anna, and then he's like, okay, we have a date later tonight, no problem. And then he gets dragged to like all the other actors that are like clearly know that he's never seen the movie before, and he has to like interview them as if he has.
As if he has, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, so have good. You ever related to like the robot or like the girl where he was like, is this your first movie? And she's like, it's my 22nd movie.
Did you guys recognize that girl?
I did not, but of course I recognized the name.
Yeah. It's Marissa from the OC.
Misha Barton.
Misha Barton. Yeah, that's her name. Yeah.
Yes.
As a tiny child, she was in this movie.
Who knew? Wild. Yeah, that was so. I really liked that scene, and I liked the callback at the end to the Horse and Hound like magazine. That was very funny. There was like at times where I like literally laughed out loud. There is like not a ton of calm.
I think it's Spike probably that he like causes the most.
He doesn't
laughs.
Make me laugh. I don't.
Not
I,
the part where he walks out in his like skinny minis and like flexes.
That's not funny to me. Like, Hugh Grant's dry British humor is funny to me. Like, seeing a creep in his small underpants is not funny to me.
I wrote down, like, I love the way Hugh Grant says things in this movie. Like, some of, I don't know if it's the dialogue or the way he says them or it's both, but, like, spectacularly unfair. I don't know why. I just really, that line for me, just, like, I don't know, but this because is spectacularly poetic. Unfair.
Some of the lines in this movie are very weird, like they were written by a robot. Like,
by the robot in the space film.
Yes. So the one line that I wrote down where I was just like, this is not a thing that humans say, was at the end when he's at the film set for the old timey movie, the period piece, and she says, "There are things to say." Who says that? Who talks like that?
What is there to say? Yeah,
there's I'm going to use that. There's things to say.
There are things to say.
That's like very the same realm.
She also says, "Give it to me in yards." Who knows things in yards except for football players? Distances in yards.
It truly doesn't make sense.
Nobody knows yards. Give it to me in feet. I'm very incredulous about this.
Yeah, I thought that was weird too, because then when that happened, I was like, do British people measure in yards?
They do not.
Right, they use the, they call us the imperial system, right?
And so they use the metric system. They actually have half imperial and half metric, really.
Oh, that's not confusing
not
at all.
Not confusing at all. But, like, just like none of us really know what a yard is, or like, conceptually, I know that a yard is 3 feet, but, like, measuring 20 yards, like, I can't eyeball that. The only people
that
who can are people
master.
Who play football.
That should be a Taskmaster thing where eyeball this many yards, you can't use a measuring device.
Yeah. They've done things like that, I feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. Some of the dialogue is a bit strange. Because I guess you could feel the chemistry between Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts. Like, it's there. But I think the problem is, like, where is the passion? Like, I guess, like, the
there
only
is none.
Passionate
scene. This movie
scene.
Is very chaste.
Maybe, is that because it's British?
I don't know. They were going for a PG-13 rating, which, like, apparently this movie is PG-13. But, like, honestly, I think this movie is a little bit more PG than 13.
Yeah, the only, maybe it was the.
They don't even have open-mouthed kisses in this movie. It was very chaste.
Maybe it was her bare back that gave it the 13.
Oh, yeah. Her bare back.
Bare back is her talking about her breasts instead of showing her breasts.
Exactly.
So racy. Well, maybe it was the fact that I literally saw Spike's dick. Like, literally saw it.
I mean, through the gray briefs, but, you know.
Yes, but,
it was there.
You could see the outline of the penis.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah. Spike is nuts, but, and you saw a little bit too much of Spike's nuts.
There you go. Movie. And yet, his sister is in love with him and proposes to him publicly at a table without him realizing it.
Without them even having ever dated, either.
What?
It's just
what
two crazy people proceeding on their crazy life together.
Who pitched this in the writer's room? Where they're like, okay, you know what? We have the wacky sister and the zany roommate or lodger. Let's get them together at the end, but, like, let's not have Spike realize that's what's happening. Sarah, please tell me your thoughts.
I just want to go back to the horse in the hound because it's my happy space. It's where I feel the most comfortable.
Yeah.
I like the line. William was talking about one, like, movies that she's done, and he goes, any horses in that one, or hounds for that matter, our readers are intrigued by both species. And then Anna goes, takes place on a submarine.
Yeah, all her movies are very specific. Like, one is space,
one is
submarines,
yeah.
And she always is wearing wild wigs.
Yeah.
Did anybody else notice that?
Would you guys believe it if I told you that my mom's house that I grew up on is very close to the Horses and Hounds Scenic Byway of Maryland?
Wow.
The total shock. Okay, I guess you don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
Wait, this is a name of a road?
Yeah. So route.
Why is it? Did they name it from the movie?
No. So, I mean, the magazine, the fictional perhaps magazine Horses and Hounds, which might be a real magazine, theoretically is basically just a magazine for like very rich people that do like horses, like equestrian things. And usually the hounds in that matter are like hunting dogs. Basically, yeah. Like all the shit that you see the queen do on The Crown.
Okay, I have information for you.
Okay.
Horse and Hound is the oldest equestrian weekly magazine of the United Kingdom.
It's weekly.
Its first edition. It's real.
It's weekly.
Its first edition was. Who can get enough?
Is it still unpublished? Because I'm going to sign up for this.
Yeah.
No, it is not. So its That's first issue was 1884, and its last issue was in December of 2013. Apparently, it had sister publications named Eventing Magazine and Horse Magazine, and Horses in all caps. I don't know if that's, you know, important information, but Horse!
Horse.
In case you didn't know. And then apparently Eventing was incorporated into Horse and Hound in 2015, and Horse, oh wait, maybe it's still out. Oh, no, they have an online edition now.
Up.
Oh, okay.
Gonna sign up for that. I have.
Wow.
I'm a reader that has. I'm intrigued by
both. I love how it says. So you know how there's like a wiki article and there's always like a in pop culture like
yes,
section?
That section.
For this one, it has obviously Notting Hill mentioned, and there's only one other mention of it. And it is in 1995, the film Circle of Friends, Celia Westward is shown reading this magazine.
Should we do this movie next? It's a 90s movie.
Very Real Magazine. Oh, my goodness. I want to know what it is.
I've never even
Circle
heard of it.
Circle of Friends. 1995 film directed by Irish filmmaker Pat O'Connor, based on a novel of the same name. I'm trying to tell what type of movie it is. A runtime of 103 minutes, so it is under the two-hour mark.
Shorter than this one.
It doesn't say what I need to do more Googling because it doesn't say what type of genre it is because now I want to know. I'll give you the
rom-com.
Brief.
I say we hunt this down and do it next so that we can do all of the filmography of the Horse and Hound magazine.
We do. Three women who've been friends since childhood met at university in Dublin in 1957. Student and boyfriend life begins. That's literally what it says on IMDb. That's not even coherent English.
It's not grammar. That makes sense.
This isn't how English works. This
isn't how English works.
Three women who've been friends. Okay, so can I get any guesses on the IMDb star rating out of 10? Deidre, what do you think?
I'll go 4.7.
Sarah, any guesses?
2.4.
It is 6.6.
Wow.
So it's obviously not that bad. Chris O'Donnell is in it. Oh. Minnie Driver is in it. They're actually some famous
stars. Studded.
We should talk to our Irish friend Aiden and see if we can get a hold of this movie.
It is set in 1950s Ireland.
I mean, it's based on three women friends. So, you know.
There we go.
Yeah. And then they also encounter the handsome and charming Jack Foley. I love the rights of its genre is drama and romance, rated PG-13 for sexual content.
We'll see how chaste it is compared to this one.
I know it's on the list now. Circle of Friends. I've never heard of this film, but I mean,
never in my life.
Sounds,
but now we have
got to look out for Horse and Hound on that one. But the Horse and Hound running gag was very funny to me. I really appreciated that joke.
The other, like, very funny scene, I think, is the – I don't even know where in the middle of the film this sits. But the scene where his friends are bringing in, like, a series of blind dates with these women that are all a little bit nuts. Specifically the fruitarian.
Yes.
Who believes that fruit and vegetables have feelings. And that only you can only eat fruits and vegetables that have already fallen from the tree and not plucked prematurely because those have been murdered.
It's so specific. And like, are you harvesting all of your own? Like,
you must have to.
You have to, but then you have to just wait, and like the rabbits are going to eat it before you even get to it. So then how does she
really govern this woman's life in a way that like none of us can truly even
imagine?
And
it's like, I'm just thinking of the amount of waste. Like, let's pretend, okay, I have my own, like, garden because I'm so concerned about poor fruits and veggies getting murdered. Mm-hmm. And then I have all these, like, beautiful, gorgeous, like, tomatoes and cucumbers all still on the vine. I can't eat them.
Can't eat them like, until they're going slightly rotten and falling off themselves.
And then I eat them when they're rotten. Like, what a time. What
How
a time.
How is this woman still alive, to be honest?
I mean, she must not eat much.
But yeah, like Sarah said, like, all of the rabbits and squirrels are going to eat the things that are still on the tree.
Which, might imagine living in there. Yeah. Okay, imagine that, living in London and never going out to eat.
Truly. Never. Truly could not, because it's all I ever did when I was in London.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then another notable woman from this parade of dates is the Hollow Bones lady from 30 Rock, who was Jack Donaghy, Alec Baldwin's fiance. He's also in this movie.
That yeah. is
this was
very
a
30
surprising. Rock pre-reunion.
Wow. Yeah. The 30 Rock reunion was very pre-reunion was very surprising. I mean, I was not expecting Alec Baldwin to be in this because he is not in the credited cast.
No, this was an uncredited cameo.
Yeah. And honestly, I wasn't at first sure which Baldwin brother it was, but as soon as I heard his voice, I was like, fucking Alec Baldwin's in this. I'm like, how timely.
Very timely.
Oh,
a the little funny bit thing too is timely. It was a little too soon to see him on my screen. I forgot.
Yeah, I was like, if this dude's going to be in the rest of the movie, I was going to be like, Jessica, we might have to like pull the cord. Like, I don't want to be
we'll
talking about
only
Alec Baldwin
about the first
for 2 hours.
Yeah.
To be fair,
no,
there are
I was
like
so
three movies, distinct movies that happen in the first half that we could still have podcasted about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's so much that happens and so much that doesn't happen. But Alec Baldwin is there. Very briefly, he's Anna's
douche.
Yeah, he's a huge douche. He's Anna's boyfriend. He's also apparently very famous, but he's not Alec Baldwin. He's like a different guy.
His name is Jeff King.
Jeff, what another gloriously boring name.
Wasn't that the name of the guy from Tiger King? Did
Jeff
I just make that
King,
up?
No.
You know what they
did? The main guy? The main guy?
No, the guy named Jeff that he's so angry about.
I need to Google this.
I know.
You know
no,
what they
it's
did?
Jeff
they,
Lowe. It's
they
Jeff
went
Lowe.
To
Jeff Lowe. Okay, sorry.
Character, book character name generator.com. Mm-hmm. And they hit the randomize button and they're like, yes, Jeff King, that works.
Sounds great. Yeah. Jeff King,
oh,
Anna, whatever
Jeff
the
King
hell.
For the real life Jeff King, 4-time winner of the Iditarod Trail sled dog race in Alaska. That's why I
oh,
know this name.
Oh, actually a Jeff King. Okay.
Yeah, there is an actual Jeff King. I got really down a rabbit hole of Iditarod and dog mushing a couple of years ago because I follow this one journalist who also is a dog musher, mainly for the dog pictures on Twitter.
I was going to say, I feel like this was as a result of you not getting a dog yet, and so you just like satiated that by watching dogs sledding.
Yeah, it's definitely not that. Her Twitter is at Blair Braverman if anybody wants to also follow for dog pics. But yeah, that's how I know the name Jeff King.
Do they still do the Iditarod?
They do.
I in high school we like did this whole thing where we were watching an entire Iditarod dog sledding
weeks
section. Yeah.
It's very intriguing. I like watched a live tracker of like a woman and a bunch of dogs like going across Alaska for multiple weeks at work one year.
Yeah. I would rather do anything that they did in this movie rather than do the Iditarod dog race.
Yeah. I would rather go out
in front of paparazzi
in my underwear to the British paparazzi than do the Iditarod dog race in Alaska.
Yeah, that is definitely something I would rather do.
Yeah.
But I can't believe she had like a boyfriend, and then she was like then I thought I was like, oh, are they gonna like break up, like her and her boyfriend? And she's like, no. And then eventually they did break up, and then she came back to England, and he was like, oh, you're here again. And it's like,
she pulled Jed from The Bachelorette a couple of seasons ago. I broke up with her in my mind. Move.
In my mind.
Yeah.
That's a real thing that a man said on national television horrifying. A couple years ago.
Horrifying. I think that, like, my favorite thing to do with rom-coms is to, like, constantly be checking the time and be like, there's only 20 minutes left. When are they going to get together? There's only 15 minutes left. When are they going to get together? Because they were together. And then we have a group chat, and I'm fairly certain they were together, and there was an hour left in the film. And I was like, friends, they're together right now. There's an hour left. What more could possibly happen?
No, but they didn't break up yet at that time.
Did they ever? My question is, were they ever going out, and did they ever break up?
They were never boyfriend and girlfriend, so they never...
They didn't DTR.
Yeah. They didn't DTR.
But they were...
If they DTR'd, they would have gone into the fact that she was technically still with Jeff King.
Yeah. I mean, is it cheating if you just start flirting and take with a random bookshop owner?
It's emotionally cheating.
In London, and then take a shower at his apartment. Is it just cheating?
She's emotionally cheating.
And then she hung out with his friends.
I viewed her relationship with Jeff King, and like, I could be completely wrong about this, although he does pick her up and kiss her, I guess. I kind of viewed their relationship as one of those like public relationships where like celebrities get together like for the clout, but they actually aren't close, or like
an arrangement.
Maybe, yeah, or maybe in the miniseries we would get flashbacks to like her relationship with Alec Baldwin, and like maybe they were in love once upon a time and now they just fell out of love, or because they both travel presumably a ton, they're both film stars, they are not really together a ton.
I took it more in the like, it has fizzled, and like, he's not the greatest guy, and she's already fallen out of love with him, but she just hasn't like officially ended it yet. Which, well, I guess is kind of easier to do when you're like, you know, halfway around the world. It's not like we had WhatsApp video calls at that point. Like, they would just not talk for probably like 6 months and, you know, at a time.
Right, yeah, because they're both movie stars and traveling. So it's a tough relationship. How do we feel about the big tabloid scandal? We kept talking about the underwear, but what happens is that Anna, I believe some revealing photographs were sent out in that were old in the newspaper. So she decides to hide out in Will's home. And then Spike accidentally on purpose, like, boasts that Anna is hanging out at their house, which in turn was tipped off to the media, and then the media swarms Will and Spike's house.
I have a dumb question.
Who's at fault here? Yeah.
Can't they just stay inside? Like, I mean, maybe the paparazzi will literally never leave, but like, just let it blow. Like, I mean, I know, I guess once he opens the door, like,
okay, so then he opens the door and he's in his underwear, and then she flips the fuck off at him, and it's like, how could you do this? You, like, you know, you revealed yourself in your underwear. And he's like, I just opened the door. Like, I didn't know that it was, like, there was people out there. Like, and then,
I mean, I don't know. In trying to get into her mind, I think she was mad that he did not tell her in the 30 seconds between when he opened the door and when she then opened the door wearing just his shirt.
I don't know why he wouldn't scream, no, stop. I mean, he tried, like, one
but
word.
He didn't do it enough because he's British.
Yeah, not that's, expressive that's enough it. To the be like, thing. Get out.
And she's don't supremely do it. Not British.
Don't open because the door.
I think that, like, this is maybe the crux of the issue, is that he calls things spectacularly unfair, and she screams her face off, as us Americans are wont to do. And so maybe that is the crux of the issue of, like, she expects him to yell if there's paparazzi outside, and he's like, excuse me, miss, please don't open the door, because, like, it's just, like, fucking, like, nothing. Like, there's no passion. Where's the passion, Hugh Grant?
Yeah, he's trying to be too polite, where what he should have been doing is basically, like, put his body in between her trying to open the door and the door.
Not
like,
aggressive
You absolutely should not open the door right now.
Yeah. Excuse me, please, sir and madam. Please step away from my house.
Refrain from opening the door, please. Thank you. Yeah, too pish-posh.
No photographs, please. No photographs. It's too much.
But Cousin Greg does in Succession, which is just yell, no comment, no comment, no comment, no comment, no comment.
So if Sarah would love one thing about Succession, it would literally only be Cousin Greg, and that is all.
I mean, Cousin Greg is kind of the only thing that we love about Succession, so.
He should be the only thing, that anybody loves.
I can't watch Succession because I heard that it's basically like, The Sopranos. Yes. Yeah. And I was like,
oh, the Sopranos.
I was like, I can't do that.
No, it's not as like murdery as the Sopranos is. So
I don't want mafia stuff.
It's not mafia. It's not mafia at all.
Bad energy.
It's not mafia.
Sarah, do you know what Succession is?
I have zero clue what Succession is, actually.
It's a family business. Like, it's a conglomerate. Like the Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch. Of the world, basically.
You want to hear something fun? Oliver's original name was Murdoch.
Ooh, glad you changed it.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
What a horrible name.
Sometimes
for an
we call him Murdy still.
Hmm. Murdy.
Okay. Well, what else do we like about this film?
Should we get into some of the feedback we got? Because we did get a little bit of feedback.
Ooh, nice.
Sure.
Alrighty. So we did hear from Stefan. He says when he started obsessively watching rom-coms 2 years ago, this is the film he started with, apparently. He was pleasantly surprised. The movie has a quiet and understated feel to it. I don't disagree with that statement. It was a great start to a wildly up and down rom-com journey, mainly starring Julia Roberts. Thankfully, this one was first because even today it remains towards the top of the list. P.S. If you get to My Best Friend's Wedding, I will describe why. It's at the bottom of the list. So we know top and bottom for Stefan.
Yeah. This movie is definitely an ode to Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant. Like, it's the most 90s rom-com because it has the king and queen of 90s rom-coms as the stars.
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point. It's beautiful. So, like, Jess, we always talk about, like, criteria about rom-coms, right? Like,
it has to have XYZ.
What's our guidelines?
I thought we were going to get an airport get-together scene.
What you didn't realize is that it was just another press conference.
Yeah. I think that for rom-com to rom-com properly, you need a get-together, break-up, get-back-together check mark
plenty
on that.
Of that.
You need two famous people as the leads. Check mark that. On that.
Like, isn't it like a good city? Didn't we say that?
Check mark on that. Mm-hmm. London, Notting Hill. I think kooky best friend is kind of a tropey type of thing.
Honestly, we got that in spades, though.
So many kooky characters.
Lots of friends.
Good soundtrack. I would call it iffy. Like, I think that there are some hits, but it's not like over the moon hits. Mm-hmm. We need like a big grand gesture.
Oh, we got
which
that.
We did get.
We did
press
get
conference.
That.
Yep. We also got like a famous quote. I never knew. That was something I guess I should say.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
I never knew that I'm just a girl standing in front of a guy asking him to love her or whatever. I did not know that was from this movie.
Yeah. Everybody knows that quote. And I agree. I didn't know it was from this movie.
Yeah.
It is from this movie when she's delivering a genuine original Chagall painting of a bride with a goat playing a violin.
Yeah, Deidre, you know more about art than I do. Is this like fancy? Is this like a thing people want?
I mean, I don't know anybody in my life that could like fathom owning original paintings like this. Like, this is not just some guy, from a gallery down the street. Like, Chagall is like an artist that you like learn about in art
He's
class.
Like Picasso, but not at the level of Picasso.
Yes.
Got it.
He's
okay.
Big time. So like to have an original painting, like that's a million dollar canvas, if not more.
Yeah, wow. In 2003, it was sold at Christie's for just above $1 million.
Holy crap.
And that was already 18 years ago. So,
Sarah, how do you feel about this? Do you like you like art? How do you feel about this art?
Okay, to be gifted an original painting as a gift, spectacular, love that gift. To be gifted this particular painting as a gift, I would rather drown myself in the Atlantic Ocean.
But it meant something to them. And then they used the violin playing goat, where their quote that they say to each other is, happiness isn't happiness without a violin playing goat. And then on their very 90s pyramid-shaped wedding cake, they have a violin playing a goat.
I guess, like, it's something that quirky people would enjoy because they're quirky. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. like, this painting's
but
so
they're not quirky.
They're not. They think they want to be quirky.
They want to be, but they're the
They're normies that want to be fun.
Yeah. They wish they were as weird as I am.
Yes.
Like, I like don't want this in my home as art. It like gives off bad vibes to me.
Yeah. Fair. Okay, Kimmy also sent in
one more thing about this art. Sorry.
Yes.
So according to director Roger Michel in an article in EW Magazine, you're not going to give the exclusive to Horse and Hound, by the way, the audacity.
The painting
was chosen because screenwriter Richard Curtis was a fan of Chagall's work and because La Marie depicts a yearning for something that's lost. Producers had a reproduction made for the film, but had to first get permission from the painting's owners and obtain clearance from the British Design and Artist Copyright Society.
Wow.
Finally, according to producer Duncan Kentworthy, we had to agree to destroy it. They were concerned that if our fake was too good, it'll float around the market and create problems. The article notes that the real painting could have been between 500 and million at that time. And then, as I just said, in 2003, it was sold by Christie's, an auction house, for just above $1 million.
Wild.
So, yep. So that's fun.
Famous painting.
If it didn't mean something to them, basically what happens if you get gifted an original painting worth $1 million that you don't like is that you turn around and you sell it again at an auction house and you make bank.
Yeah. That's the move. That is the move. Get really rich friends to buy you a really ugly ass painting.
Mm-hmm.
So Kimmy writes in, and Kimmy says that this Julia Roberts Appreciation Month pick is giving her life. She really loves it. And apparently we chose her absolute favorite, which is Life Affirming. She says, movie is perfect. It stands the test of time. The acting is perfect. The music is outstanding. A classic montage, a chase scene. And to top it off in true 90s rom-com style, it depicts a truly unattainable love that probably ruined me for life. I love it so, so much. That's true. We also forgot to mention that in a perfect rom-com, or in a rom-com in general, to fit the criteria, you need to have unattainable love. Like, no love is like this.
It's very true.
I actually think
none of us are going to marry kind a movie star.
No, but I think their love is realistic and attainable because it's like, where is it?
Jessica, Kimmy is the best person, like dragger ever. She is going to come after us now. I'm terrified.
Deidre doesn't know.
Great. This is a very good movie. Yes, it's a little long, but it does hold up to our modern standards.
Yeah, it does.
Not only just of like film quality, but like this movie shows a disabled person living an absolutely normal life and that they are deserving of love. This movie shows a woman proposing to a man. This movie shows the main relationship in which the woman has the power and asks the man out. Like, this movie is so much better on all these like feminist lenses than most of the other movies from this era.
Does it, if the question as Grace Leader would ask, does it hold up? I would say yes.
I think it does. On many different levels, I think it holds up.
Yeah.
So on paper, it's the perfect rom-com. So then why am I feeling this way?
Because it was too long. Because the main characters aren't fun enough. That is my gripe with it, is it's too long and there's not enough comedy for my personal taste. And that's all what it is about.
Drama?
I don't care. Wait,
they
I mean, there
break
was some
up,
drama.
3 or 4 times. That's not enough for you.
But I guess like, the reason they break up is never like that dramatic.
Like the most like interesting part for me was when we found out that the disabled woman was Hugh Grant's ex, and they were like bashing.
I missed that part.
Yeah, I know. That I found interesting. I was like, oh, that's some tea.
But it's like not even spicy tea. The, it's like lukewarm.
And then like the other main takeaway, I was like, oh wow, like Julia Roberts is so pretty, and yeah. I desperately want a little freckle underneath my eye. Like I would do anything for it.
I don't know that I noticed the freckle.
Because it's so charming. How can you not?
I have
notice
one under my lip.
I have two under my lip.
No.
Oh my guys, god. Yeah. Guys. I have two in the corner, but they're so close to my lips that it kind of just looks like I
have chocolate.
Miss chocolate
yeah.
on my mouth.
People
constantly.
Always tell me I have chocolate on my face. It's really yeah. annoying.
Also, I have a freckle on like the inside of one of my toes. I discovered it last year. I have been on this earth for 30 years,
wow.
and I just discovered
it.
Well,
it probably popped up
recently.
Freckles
do appear. Yeah.
Yeah. But on yeah. the inside of my feet seems weird.
Yeah,
it's
no,
not
they
like
could pop up literally.
Just make sure that it passes the ABCDEs and you're not getting skin cancer, please.
Yeah, you should
okay,
go to the
someone explain what an ABCDE
just
stands for.
Just Google it after the podcast.
Abnormal. Something else.
It's like the color and the like size. I don't know. It's just it's all the dimensions that you have to check to make sure.
No, it is like flat. There's nothing there. It's flat and it's tiny.
We are three pale bitches. We need to always check ourselves for skin cancer.
Yeah, I'm very.
Everybody should check themselves for skin cancer. This is apparently the hill I'm dying on for this podcast.
I mean, I don't disagree
with this.
Didn't
expect it. Didn't seem pertinent at all.
Who knew we'd talk about skin cancer on a Notting Hill podcast?
I am proud to report that my dermatologist said that all of my marks are unnoteworthy. And she was not impressed by any of them.
Amazing.
Proud of us.
Okay, so Kimmy continues.
Oh.
She doesn't understand how we're ever going to choose another movie. Surprise, Kimmy, we already have selected one, but... And the funny thing is the one that we did select
is coming out first.
Is not on her list. Pretty Woman, Stepmom, My Best Friend's Wedding, Something to Talk About, The Pelican Brief, Sleeping with the Enemy, Mystic Pizza. I can hardly take it. It's too much. Let's watch them all. I'm so sorry, Kimmy.
Well, I'm happy to report our next Julia Roberts movie we're covering is Runaway Bride.
It is a rom-com.
Which is a rom-com.
I'm led to believe.
And like I said, it was released a month after Notting Hill was... And it, you know, Notting Hill took the number one spot in movies for a very long time up until Runaway Bride overtook it. So there we
Amazing.
Go.
Amazing.
Julia Roberts domination.
And, you know, Kimmy loves to give us like questions with like multiple choice answers. It's her thing, Deidre. She's big on it. We appreciate it. Kimmy asks best side character and quote or moment to back it up. Martin saying, I just thought Ghost was the most wonderful film. Spike saying, you daft prick, or I went out in my goddamn underwear too. Honey saying, I absolutely, totally, and utterly adore you, and I just think you're the most beautiful woman in the world, and more importantly, I genuinely believe, and I have for quite some time now, that we could be best friends.
I'm so glad you have the entire quote right now.
That's what Kimmy wrote. Kimmy's amazing. Or as she puts it, the fruitarian, these carrots have been murdered.
Yeah, it's definitely fruitarian.
Yeah, I'm going with fruitarian as well.
I think so too, but I think Honey gets my like honorable mention because I do just love that. I feel like in some ways we're all a little bit like Honey, where you meet someone and you're just like, we could be best friends. But like, it's usually something you think in your head.
I've never
done
that
before. Yeah, and also
before.
Not like famous people. Like, exactly. I have friends that... Essentially, I have created a friendship because I knew that they would be good friends.
Yeah.
So I, you know, closely crafted it over a series of, you know, months and whatnot. And now we are best friends. So, like, that is real, but, like, not people you've never met before.
Exactly. Honey's a little bit coming on too strong sometimes. She also has a question for us. Sassiest / most savage Julia Roberts line. In the bookstore, dear Rufus, you belong in jail.
It's a good one. It was a good one.
Outside in the gardens, there's no unless because no one has said whoopsie daisy for 50 years. And even then, it was just little girls with blonde ringlets. I love whoopsie daisy.
Yeah, we whoopsie daisy all the time, Kimmy.
I'm more of an oopsie all the time than a whoopsie daisy.
I am also an oopsie doopsie. I am also an okie dokie.
Oopsie
daisy. Oopsie doopsie. No, I say oopsie doopsie.
Oopsie doopsie might be my new favorite.
That's zesty.
Oopsie doopsie is good. And I say okie dokie.
Oh, yeah. Literally all the time, every day. Girl.
Okie dokie, artichokey. It's like, it's just like fun to
say. We used to do okie dokie finoki, but I don't know where that came from.
Is that a thing? Is that a word?
It's in my family a thing. I don't know if it's a thing, though, elsewhere.
Finoki.
It sounds kind of like food.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, enoki mushrooms are a food, so maybe that's why.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. At the restaurants with douchebags, no, I'm sure you didn't mean it. I'm sure it's just friendly banter. I'm sure you guys have dicks the size of peanuts. Loved that line. At William's house, newspapers last forever. I will regret this forever.
That's the one that I wrote down, and my comment to myself on my notes was, way harsh, Ty.
It is amazing. That was very harsh.
It's so rude.
He's like, I won't.
It's really
bad. But
then
he's like so sad. He's like, well, I won't regret it forever.
Oh, he's so polite in English about it. The way what he says, I don't remember the exact line, but he's like, if you forgive me, I think I'll do the exact opposite. Bless your damn little heart, sir.
Your diddly heart.
And the last line she has is, no one
speak forever.
It's what she says when the person asks who he is. No one. It's a bit of an awkward situation. I don't know what he's doing here. That was very hard.
It's definitely I'll regret this forever. And there's no choice otherwise.
Yeah, that one's the harshest, but the one I love the most, I think, is the Dear Rufus, you belong in jail.
That's a good one. Starting off strong in the movie with that one.
It is. And then she also has best Julia Roberts moment. One day, not long from now, my looks will go. They will discover I can't act and I will become some sad middle-aged woman who looks a bit like someone who was famous. That's, we talked about that earlier.
And in yet, the like, after. How, whatever, like 20 years later plus, she still looks exactly the same from how she looked in this movie because... Hollywood plastic surgery is amazing.
But, I mean, has she worked recently? That's the question.
I think she's just enjoying life in New Mexico with her husband and her kids.
Is she retired?
Yeah. They live on a ranch in, really? In New Mexico.
Did she make an announcement that she's retired?
She was in Homecoming, but that was back in 2018.
Yeah, she was.
So it's like been a hot minute.
I think she's just much more choosy with her roles these days.
As she can be. She's Julia fucking Roberts. Yes. Oh my gosh. Winston's barking, presumably at kids walking down the street. In the bed the morning after, they go to bed with Gilda. They wake up with me. Men went to bed with the dream and they didn't like when they woke up with the reality. That's fucking sad and horrifying.
It's very depressing. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to give too much credence to it.
No.
I want to have more faith in the men of the world.
One would hope we'd be able to. And then, of course, she has the I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her. And at the press conference, indefinitely.
I like the indefinitely. I think that indefinitely, I like that scene a lot. And I still hold true that I feel like that should have been the ending of the movie.
We didn't need to hear She by Elvis Costello a third time over a montage of their wedding and a pregnant belly. Are you telling me that?
That is indeed what I'm saying, yes.
I think the thing that I don't like about the most famous line from the movie, that I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her, is, okay, can I get so nitpicky?
I mean, we shouldn't be calling people girls and boys.
Thank you! I am just a woman standing in front of a man.
Yes.
Like, you are not a girl. He is not a boy. You're both adults. Like, it is one of my pet peeves, and I can't stand it. And that is why it is so hard. I feel like I have to go with Sarah and give it to indefinitely, because I think you're right. I think that's like puts a fine point on the end of the film. And if they had just stopped it there.
Her smile after she says it is so cute, too.
They're both just so giggly and like
cute. They're giddy.
And that is when the
Dominic
press conference
gets to
actually
ask
realizes
again. He's so happy about it. Whoever Dominic is.
Yeah. I fixed it again. You know how like In
she's done it again.
In credits sometimes, like, it's black credits and, like, it's going down.
Oh, when we get, but, like, photos.
But then you
stuff.
Get, like, photos or, like, the little yes. box yes. with, like, then you, it's, like, yes. credits down. You see the rectangle at their wedding. Yes. And then, like, then the more credits go down and then another rectangle of her pregnant. That's what we needed.
Just photo stills instead of, like, another yeah. five-minute montage hearing the same song for the third yep. time.
Yeah, I completely agree with
there
this.
There we go.
Yes.
Then we get it I'm to down with this edit. The Deidres, but also we, if the people want to leave the movie theater, they can.
Yeah.
I'm firmly I like in the camp of, like, an epilogue is almost never a good idea. I can't remember a single movie yeah. in which I've enjoyed the epilogue. It's always terrible.
I think... A movie or a show, or does it not matter?
Well, I'm not really sure, but...
Because I feel like 6 Feet Under had a decent...
Okay, don't
like,
spoil don't that in case there's people or... who are trying to watch
no, no, no,
that
No, no, no,
show.
No. I will not spoil it. All I will say is that they did like an epilogue-y type of thing, and I feel like it was very well done and fit the tone of the show. But by and large, I do agree with you, Deidre. Like, it's usually unnecessary, and I'm usually more of in the mindset of like... Let people imagine what the rest yes. of these lives looked like mm-hmm. instead of telling us.
Yes.
But, you know, tis what it is. And that was all we got from Kimmy. So thank you so much, Kimmy. If you ever want to send in feedback, feel free to do so at Shit90sPod on Instagram and Twitter and Shit90sPod.com. You can also send us in feedback there. Overall, I still feel like I'm very whelmed by this movie, and I wonder if it is, but the fact that Sarah is also feeling that way gives me like validation, because sometimes I wonder, is it like, is this movie a movie you needed to watch when it was out, like when it came out, for you to love it? Because do people love it because of nostalgia? And mm-hmm. I just think it's such a quiet movie, and that is why for me I'm more whelmed. I need more, like, I need more stuff happening more of the time in a shorter movie.
But Jess, like, are we, like, are you and me on, like, content overload? Because we're just coming off of Interview with the Vampire that literally had, like, everything and too much. And we were like...
And that was also 2 hours.
It was also 2 hours. And we came off of that. It was like, we have no idea what just happened to us. But we, like, enjoyed this ride. And, like, we're drinking...
But there was more action.
The chaos. But, like,
but
are we, like...
rom-com.
It's not
no,
a rom-com.
But I'm saying, like, movies. Like, movies. Yeah. I'm not talking about
well,
rom-coms. I'm talking
about...
I'm
fully willing to admit that I am not... what you would call a movie person. Like, if I had to choose between movies and television for the rest of my life, it is the easiest decision, and I choose TV.
I would also choose TV.
I am much, yeah, I'm much more likely to sit down and put on 3 episodes or 4 episodes of a half an hour show
yes.
than I am to sit down and fully watch a 2 hour movie.
I think it's and that's plotted a lot better that way, and I think it's a more manageable chunk for my brain. And the problem, I think, yeah. with this movie is the fact that there is that weird structure where it is almost plotted into episodes, but then it's just, it's yeah. one movie that you sit through.
Yeah. yeah. I refuse to believe that Sarah and I are the problem here.
See, well, okay. You guys really, I think, are maybe being harsh critics, because you didn't dislike this movie. It was no. just a little whelming.
It was a movie that I watched, and I probably would not watch it again.
I feel the same way. It's a movie I watched. I won't watch it again. Will I think of it again?
Maybe. I've thought about Interview with the Vampire every day since we watched that movie. That movie is literally ruling my life. And we've made references to it afterwards. Like, I think that yeah. Interview with the Vampire is a life-changing movie. Like, I think it literally changed far. My life. It did. I think about it all the time. You and me make comparisons to Louis and Lissette, like, multiple times a week.
It's because Louis is, like, the most Pisces water sign to have ever Pisces water signed.
It's just, like, chaos. But will I talk about Notting Hill
because
in a week?
Because these characters are not entertaining enough. And that is the root of the problem, is they're too boring to care about. I want to know what the hell Spike went on and did with his life. I want to know what Honey went on and did with her life. They're more interesting to me than boring ass Anna and William. Could their names be
maybe they,
more boring?
Maybe we needed more sex. I don't know.
Well, did they had sex like one time.
But they didn't like they didn't show any of it. They show basically him yeah. lowering her shirt, and then it just like mm-hmm. fades to the next scene.
I gotta say, even the like bare back wasn't doing it for me. It wasn't even like sexual.
It's the least sexy movie. Like, it's like this movie is very chaste.
Oh, because it's British.
It's
because
it's British. And I'm sorry, I'm a dirty ass American. I need some like grit.
Jess needs the dirty sex scenes.
See, I don't, but I need more.
Like,
I need
we need,
passion.
Like, the bare back, but then we need, like, nails, like, scraping down the back.
I think the problem is that, yeah, you're right. The chemistry for them is very understated. They don't, they don't have the, like, magnetic appeal as a duo of most people, which is interesting because both individually, especially in other roles, they're very dynamic. But particularly Julia Roberts in this movie is given really nothing to do.
No, there's just not a ton of passion. And I
so much of this movie is just her sitting there doing absolutely nothing, looking like, straight ahead and saying yes or no.
Yeah, I need more passion in everything. Like, I am a passionate person. I feel my feelings very strongly and I like to express them. And in that way, I couldn't. And you know what it is I like a movie where I can relate to the characters. I really can't relate to either of them, of the main characters. And that's
also because you're a robot.
Because they're robots.
I think they're the robots is the problem.
They're the robots. I'm way more entertaining than they am. No offense. I am. Okay? They're not, like, yelling. When do they yell? Like, somebody yell, please. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's, like, there's not enough passion, romance. Like, even the romance is, like you were saying, Deidre, so chaste. I just think that, like, this is a movie for some people. For me, it was fine. I didn't hate it. But I wouldn't, like, on purpose watch it again.
I think you might feel the urge, like, in a year, not, like, next week, but I think maybe. You might feel the urge again because so many of these classic rom-coms don't hold up and aren't actually very good.
This is a very fair point. A lot of them are like, very harmful. Not even that, but, like, they are regurgitating really awful things, like certain power dynamics and certain things like, oh, they need to be chased. It's like, please stop chasing people. It's not healthy. If they say no, that means no, and you probably should leave them alone, not continue to pester them with your love. So, like, certain rom-coms certainly don't hold up in that regard, but... like I said, it did hold up. Yeah. It's just a very quiet, understated movie.
The chemistry
like Stefan
in this movie is more people smiling at each other than anything
else. Want that. Like, I mean, I'm not the most lovey, touchy person, but, like, geez Louise, like, at least act like you like him. I don't
know.
People are going to be mad. I'm upset if people are going to be mad at me. But you know what? It is what it is. It's a tough job. Someone's got to do it.
I don't think people are going to be mad at you because I don't think either of you actually disliked this movie.
No, but is it worse to be apathetic towards it?
It is.
I'm not sure that it is.
It is. It's worse.
In my line of work, it's worse.
Okay, fair enough. But did we not have more than enough to talk about?
Oh, we had a great time. Like, I love the podcast and I love talking all about it, which is great. Like, that's, to me, that's a sign of something that at least we were able to find things to talk about. Like, this movie could have been so much worse in that I felt like I had nothing to talk about.
Imagine stopping down as if this were a mini series and kind of like doing that as an exercise, like podcasting about each quote unquote episode of.
It needs more comedy if it's a mini series, in my opinion.
I mean,
though.
Fair, but yeah, I think it would be interesting.
Yeah.
Just in case anybody wants to take that and roll with it.
Roll with it. Yeah.
We're
get Julie Roberts
not doing
involved.
It, but you could.
She's hanging out on a ranch, you know, get her involved. She
could
be
take it up for the through the Horses and Hounds Scenic Byway of Maryland. Take it for a spin on a Sunday drive.
Amazing. Deidre, thank you so much for joining us yet again.
It was an absolute
for another
pleasure, as always. Thank you for also accommodating my puppy schedule.
Oh yeah, we're always excited for the puppy picks. That's for
we
sure.
are.
I mean, aren't
that's at
we
the top
all?
Of the list.
I'm excited to take them. I'm excited to share them. I'm excited to stare at them on my phone when I can't be staring at the actual dog.
It's like, you know, you're a dog owner when all of a sudden you go through your like a camera gallery file and it's literally just dog, nothing but dogs.
I haven't been a dog owner thus far in my life, and that is still what my camera phone exists of.
It's going to escalate significantly.
Oh, yeah. I have a folder of Benji pics. There's nearly 5,000 pictures is just Benji.
Just Benji doing Benji things.
Yes.
Benji, Benji is Benji Deirdre's childhood dog that is at her mom's house.
Yes. So not my childhood dog because my parents actually got him after I left home for college.
Oh, so I misunderstood. My
the replacement. Dog.
Yeah, he replaced the replacement. Me. Yeah, my mom's going to listen to this.
Oh, he's like your sibling, I understand.
Me. He didn't replace you. Nobody could replace you. But well, my mom couldn't Mrs. Deidre's mom, we do know that. To replace me with a dog, so.
Oh, wow.
We know the true tea. It's true. We know the true tea.
But yeah.
Deidre, do you have anything to plug? What do you have going on? Anything you'd like to tell us about before we let you go?
I don't think I have anything to plug. I can't even pretend to think that I have anything going on besides training a puppy. But you could follow him. He's on Instagram already at Lil Murphy Pup.
There we go. I love that
this is the plug. This Amazing. Is my plug. We love it.
I mean, you know, you can do it if you want. That's where Murphy Pictures will be. Otherwise, I mean, you can find all three of us on the Potion Recaps Discord, which is where I spend most of my time.
Yes, I am there now. I have arrived.
You are there now.
It's fun.
Yes. PostShowRecaps.com/Patreon if you'd like
to become a member. The PSR Patreon with her presence, and we have not recovered from it because we will never recover because we love Sarah.
No, I feel like I'm definitely finding my footing in the PSR Discord.
You gotta find your place. Some people are a snacks channel people. Some people are like purely in the pets zone. Some people are D&D people. It's just all about finding your little spot in the best corner of the internet, basically. Sarah, what else do we have coming up on the wonderful month that is November?
Yeah, so as we mentioned previously, our second Julia Roberts movie we are covering is Runaway Bride with Kurz, who I podcasted with at the Wombat Water, Coconut Water podcast. So very excited to podcast with them. And then in addition to that, I'm coming to visit you in a few weeks, and we are putting up a poll. Deidre, you could be like our first vote.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, yeah. So when we're together, should we podcast about either A, the pilot of Felicity, B, a AMA, C,
It was a random movie that, like, random, either we pick or somebody else picks.
That, like, the audience will choose. Or D, what was D?
Oh, it was, like, a Sporkle quiz for, like, 90s things to see how we do.
Yeah. What should we do?
I say what's your vote? Sporkle quizzes. Oh, okay. /AMA. I think you can combine the two.
Fair. We could do that if we ran.
We could do that. Now, I did say that if you guys choose AMA, then I promise to answer any single question that you would possibly ask, no matter how uncomfortable.
Sarah, that is some vulnerability.
I promised that I would do it, and Jess said that she would too. So
I said maybe most likely, but my husband does listen to the podcasts, and so I have to be very careful.
Yeah. Is there any questions that you've been dying to ask me, Deidre? I probably not, but
I mean, I just love everything that I've ever known and learned about you. But I mean, off the top of my head, this is like some, you know, this is a lot of pressure.
I know. You can ask me if the AMA gets voted for.
We can. But we can do a what's your favorite Halloween candy for today?
Oh, Reese's.
Standard.
I'm basic.
I love a Reese's.
Yeah, it's
what's
so
your
good,
favorite but Reese's good. Product?
I am a loyalist, just the main Reese's.
The standard. Whoa. Big.
I feel like this is a hot take now.
Why is that a hot take?
Because I most mean, people are like, yeah. Well, give me the big cup, give me the pumpkin, give me the Christmas tree.
Jess, you know, I believe it's loves all about the fast break.
The fast break is where it's at. I'm a fast break loyalist. Like I am always going to buy a fast break over a regular Reese's. I love a nougat. Nougat's like a nougat shit. Is underrated.
Did you know that in Britain they pronounce it nougat?
I did not. But now I'm
now
happy.
Now you do.
Also, I found out that in Australia, they pronounce algae.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who knew?
Hard wow. G. Hard G on that one.
Amazing stunning. Things. We're learning stunning. So much.
Never known before. You can learn all of this and more.
And more.
And more. At Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram. You can send in feedback at shit90sPod.com. And you can find me at Sarah Ferguson. And Jessica, what's up with you?
I'm at the Just Sterling on Twitter. As always, you can find me at Posha Recaps on the Community Building Podcast, which Deidre has come on, yes. as well as Sarah. Both of you have been on it. And on the Succession podcast. Yes. Building a community.
Be
of friends
with Jess Pays Dividends. She invites really you on does. Her podcast.
If that is the goal, then yes, it certainly does.
I have always thought that for years and years that we could sincerely be best friends.
And it did happen.
If that's you, talk to Jess and maybe she'll invite you on her podcast.
Also true. Yeah, if you want to be friends with me, also go in the Posha Recaps Discord because I'm literally there all the time. But yes, also on Succession with Grace Leader and Josh Wiggler, loving season 3. So go check all of that stuff out at Posha Recaps. Give it a follow. Give it a listen. I think that's like pretty much all I have going on. If I have anything else, I'll plug it on my Twitter. So go check that out. This was so much fun. I greatly enjoyed myself. As much as I was whelmed by the movie, I was overwhelmed with joy to podcast today with both of you.
Always what so a much lovely fun. Time and we didn't even get interrupted by a single trick-or-treater.
We have not yet. I'm surprised. I would have thought by just to place this in time, it is nearly 4 p.m. Eastern on Halloween, and I have not yet gotten interrupted for candy. I do have to run out and grab dinner, and I kind of feel guilty. I might leave my bowl outside because I do feel a little guilty about it, but then they'll probably just steal all the candy. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
You could do the thing where you leave a bowl but it's an empty bowl, and then
What if I leave a bowl but there's only a few pieces left?
Yeah.
So they do get candy, yeah. but then I still get to hand it out
yeah.
to the cute kids.
You still get to hand it out, and it's real. All stolen by like yeah. one greedy teenager who's like, yeah, I'm going to dump this whole bowl in my garbage bag.
This is the move. Because the thing is, friends, for those of you, I mean, Halloween's over, but we're still talking about it. The thing is that the only reason I enjoy Halloween is because I don't even like kids. I like when kids compliment my dog and his cuteness, and I dress him in a costume and he answers the door with me, and every single time I get a, oh my God, he's so cute. Like, and I'm he's in his best spirits. I'm in my best spirits. It's a great time for all, honestly.
I mean,
get yourself a dog, put him in a costume, so answer the door.
So it's fair.
He is cute. Yeah. He's a popcorn. Yeah. I will. He's a popcorn.
If you're
a
time traveler living in the, New York capital region and you go back to Halloween 2021, and you knock on Jess's door, just remember to say, oh, your dog is so cute, and she'll give you extra candy.
It's a
candy.
Requirement if you want candy. If you want extra candy, tell me my dog is cute.
Yeah. So, yeah, anytime travelers in the New York capital region.
Exactly. Thank you all for listening. We hope you have a good one. We will talk to you next time. Just bye.
Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.